School PR professionals spend a few weeks a year participating in professional development and networking, if they're lucky. We use this time to connect through conversation and shared experiences. Conversation is one of the best parts of our jobs, but then we go back to our daily work and the time for connection begins to wear off.
Welcome to School PR Happy Hour. During our time together, our goal is to continue a sense of collaboration and shared conversation throughout the whole year.
We are a community of communicators that lean on each other in hard times and times of celebration and learn from each other regularly.
This podcast gives us the chance to get to know each other better by sharing our passions about furthering education one story at a time.
Whether you are listening on your morning commute or winding down after work, we are so glad you're here and look forward to learning alongside you today.
What's up, everybody, and welcome into another episode of School PR Happy Hour. My name is Justin Deering, and I'm a communication strategist for CISO Communications, and we're glad you're here today. This is our first episode after our holiday hiatus, and I want to thank you for letting us take some time with our family to enjoy the holidays. But we are back, and we're excited for 2024. We have an amazing second half of the season planned. We are looking for My School PR stories. If you're interested in sharing your story, reach out to us on social media. And today's episode is a conversation with a familiar voice. You're going to recognize this person. It's the co-founder of the show, Aaron McCann. Today's conversation is an update on her life and kind of a look at the differences between school PR and aviation, but also a look at kind of how they're the same. We're glad you're here and we're looking forward to learning with you. Hey friends, Justin here. We're so excited to have Class Intercom back as a sponsor for Season 5 of School PR Happy Hour. We all know the demands are higher than ever to tell your school's story across all platforms and mediums. With Class Intercom, you can spread out some of that work and bring in more voices to tell your story. Clients get unlimited user access for both staff and students on a secure and moderated platform. Imagine effortlessly collecting and sharing captivating stories that showcase the true spirit of your school. But that's not all. Class Intercom also offers archival and analytic features to track your content's performance and make informed decisions. So join us at School PR Happy Hour and raise a virtual glass to Class Intercom. Elevate your school's storytelling game today. Visit classintercom.com to learn more. Today's our first episode of 2024 after our holiday hiatus. Appreciate everybody giving us some time off to enjoy our family and to hang out with our friends. We are back for a wonderful year, and I couldn't think of a better way to start off coming back from a hiatus other than bringing back somebody who is a familiar voice here on School PR Happy Hour to hear how her life's going, a little bit update on her PhD, and to talk about the difference between school PR and aviation and maybe how they even align a little bit. So today I'm welcoming back my good friend, co-founder of the show, Aaron McCann. Aaron, what's up? Welcome into the show you created, School PR Happy Hour.
Well, it's good to be here. And so glad that the separation anxiety, we finally felt like we needed to catch up. It's been a minute.
It has been a while since we have chatted like this. We've obviously still texted because you still send me text messages calling me out for my APR and multiple other reasons. So not much has changed other than us meeting in a virtual online studio every once in a while and talking about school PR. So give us an update. Talk to us about what's going on. Everything I see on your Instagram shows me you jet setting and traveling all over the world, but you're also still very much working with Southwest Airlines, very much working on your PhD. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on with you.
Yeah, it's been busy. So I was just thinking about this before we started the show. And I think the last time when we signed off together was probably May or June. Probably June 1. So about 6 months, give or take. And it's funny, you know, I feel like did we do four or five seasons together?
This would be season five we're in right now. So we did four.
Okay, so we did four seasons together. So the four seasons we did together, Justin, I feel like we built this brand that I was like, like, if you know us, then it wasn't exactly true. But like publicly, I feel like we built this brand that I was like very structured, very organized, like very driven, very methodical. And you were like this chaotic energy. And that's not wrong. I think like of the two of us, I probably do have like more structure and parameters. But also like I'm a highly, highly chaotic human, and somehow like stepping away from my work in schools and like really leaning into the aviation work and the freedom and the flexibility and the creativity, I have simply just become that much more chaotic. And now that I've got access to lots and lots of flights in our home, it's really like, hey, Kevin, should we see if there's space available and go to Italy? And so like, that's what I've been doing. I did a ton of revenge traveling over the summer because I was out of school for the summer and my work is very, very flexible. I can work anywhere within reason. And during COVID and during like my time in schools, there really wasn't the ability to travel the way that I would have loved to. And so I now had the time and I had parents who were willing to watch my kids. And so we went in June to see the family in Ireland. In July, we went to Italy for our 15th anniversary, which was just absolutely magical. And then I've had a ton of work trips too. So pretty much every month I'm somewhere doing something.
Yeah, I've noticed that, and my wife has noticed that and asked me when my change from school PR is going to initiate her getting to travel more. So I appreciate you draining our budget for travel so willingly and nicely on Instagram. But
a little offline about that, to be sure.
It's awesome to see, like, you know, not only just the freedom that you have, but the places you're getting to go. And a lot of times, I mean, you've made multiple trips to Boston and it's mm-hmm. one of my favorite places. So I enjoy following along with that. But, you know, a lot of this stuff that traveling, some of this areas that you're going to are for, you know, your school stuff that you're working on. So what is going on in the PhD world as I think we're getting closer than we ever have, obviously, but I think we're real, like it's happening, right?
I'm halfway done. So I finished in December, I finished my third semester of a targeted six that obviously will depend on kind of me sticking to the timeline and making sure that I pass all the right kind of metrics and stuff. It's a lot. It's a lot. I really enjoy it. I obviously love learning. I'm going to jump sideways for a second. At Southwest Airlines, we really subscribe heavily to the Clifton Strengths. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but any of the listeners who have done the CPC program at TCU would be familiar with the Clifton Strengths. And so when you join Southwest, they have you take this test. And I think it's like 32 or 34 strength attributes, and it ranks them like 1 to 34. And then we all put like our top five in our signature. So it just helps when you're interacting with someone you've never interacted with that you know, like, oh, they're much more of like a relationship builder. I may need to have a softer touch, or this person is highly competitive. Let's be very blunt. It's really helpful. And it shouldn't surprise you to find out that my top attribute was achiever. Like I do set my like self-esteem is measured by the things that I achieve. And so I think that probably says a lot about like why I decided to pursue the PhD is like I had crossed off all of these metrics. I had gotten the APR. I had done the CPC. I got my master's. What's next? Okay, let's go for a terminal degree. But what I found is that I really like have a great passion for academic research. I won't be moving into academia. I'm not going to leave a really great job that I love to fight through the academic nonsense. But I hope that when I complete this, I'll be able to sign on with a university, kind of adjunct and do some research because I'm really enjoying it. But it is definitely a challenge. It's been really hard to have the kiddos here and finish a day's work and then need to lock myself in the office because I've got a paper due or a lecture to listen to. So I would say that I both do and do not recommend it. I don't think I could take this on if my kids were any busier than they are. It's hard when they're little, but they don't have as many activities. And Fiona is now 10 and has something like every day of the week. So if Liam were also in things every day of the week, I don't know when I would get this done.
I can, I know, and it's not at the same scale, obviously, but I have officially dived full force into the APR process that we've talked about since season one. I'm learning a little bit about that as well. Like sitting here where we're recording before Christmas, even though it's coming out in January, because this is the one time we both could fit our schedules because they're nuts.
Before I go periodically travel again.
Yeah. So I work my normal day here and then Kinley gets home about 4:00. I hang out with her a little bit, hang out with Katie when she gets home. But the last like 2 or 3 weeks, it really has been 2 to 3 days a week. I got to go back into my office, shut the door. Mm-hmm. And for someone with, you know, adult onset ADHD, that doesn't work very well. And I'm having to learn that, like, if I'm really diving into my textbooks, I've got to go somewhere else because there is an Xbox in here. There's a TV. Yeah. There's Facebook. There's YouTube. I'm a big YouTube university guy now, I guess. I learn everything on YouTube.
That's awesome.
And it's been fun and stressful watching how I'm having to force myself to be like, no, turn this crap off and read your book. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got two people you're meeting with on Tuesday night that are going to be done reading. And if you're not, you're the one that screwed it up.
That's right.
So, yeah, it's moving along. It's awesome to hear what you're doing and just like the few conversations we've had about your new position. You've been in it for a while, so it's not like a new position still. Mm-hmm. But some of the cool things you get to do from a different side that aren't available in school PR, like that kind of marketing and kind of communication work that you're doing, we don't have that area in school PR as much, but maybe we need to look into it. Like we keep preaching at CISO about, you know, it's time to really take a look at it from a marketing standpoint. Where do you show up in the marketplace and mm-hmm. figure out those kind of things? So why don't you talk to me? Cause I don't know if we've ever truly done what does a day look like for Erin in her new position over at Southwest? What does a day-to-day life of you look like in your new job?
Well, I think I'd like to start by pointing out, when you're working for schools, you're essentially working for the government, right? And so we all know, especially here in Texas, I actually just finished like a parent leadership academy for the district where my children go. So it was kind of fun to be able to be on like the consumer side rather than like the one putting on the program, because I would have run this exact program in Allen ISD when I was there. But our superintendent was talking about, obviously we know that inflation has been like a big struggle for everybody in the last calendar year. And he was talking about the Texas legislature and the fact that schools have not received a raise, for a better term, since 2019, but our inflation is up 14% since 2019. And so it's really about doing more with less. And I think all of our listeners who work in public schools are feeling that pinch. I mean, you've got these big grand ideas and no capacity to make it work because you're working with government money. And one of the things that struck me so significantly when I moved into my current role is not that there's unlimited money, because that is not true, but just when you do have more ability to lean in, you can do a lot more. And so I am one of about, give or take, 350 communicators. Like, imagine, the largest team I worked on in school PR was of 6. Imagine what you can do with 350 people. So it's nice, and it's also limiting, because I was a generalist before coming to this role. I did a little bit of everything. I did multimedia. I did press releases. I did internal. I did social. I did all of that, right, in different facets of my career. And that's not the case now. Like, I am not on the marketing team, so I don't work in marketing. I am not on the external team, so I'm not working directly with the media. I work in internal communications, which I was afraid I would miss the high of chasing the external side. And let me just tell you, being able to work for an internal audience has been so good for my mental health and my work-life balance. So there's my just little plug first, is like, obviously how much you can do when you can dedicate an entire team to each facet of what our school PR practitioners are having to do every single day, and what that can do for you when you can take time for yourself to take care of yourself, how good you can be at your job when you have some balance. Obviously not trying to force anybody out of the career, because I am still a huge advocate of the work done in school PR, but that is a very, very active plug for everybody listening to take time to figure out what it is that they need. Because when you can invest in yourself, whether that's leaning into your APR, ensuring you work out every day, meditating, whatever it is that you need, when you do prioritize yourself, your work is significantly better, and certainly your relationships are too. So there's my lengthy intro, but a day in the life. So I work in internal communications. We have 2 sub teams on the internal team. I'm on one of those teams, and I am responsible for all of the communication efforts for one of our operational groups. We call it technical operations, or tech ops for short. But to the layman, that would be like our mechanics and our engineers and everything having to do with kind of that side of the operation. So I support 4 VPs. I do a lot of executive writing. I do actually get to work with the media a little bit when they utilize our hangar facilities, but I have learned more about mechanics than I ever thought was possible. And I sit in these staff meetings, and they look at me like I'm speaking French every single time that I give a presentation. But the joy in that is that they really believe me when I give them communication advice, because they're used to turning wrenches. So I get to be the expert in the room.
Well, it's fun in those situations, because, me switching roles, going back to your intro, me switching from a communications role, and I'm still doing the same style work just from outside, and having that opportunity to have a little bit more focus on myself and more focus on my family, like knowing, mm-hmm. The stories from the last couple of years of my school PR career there. It's fun being home when my kid gets home.
Right.
And it's fun coaching her 10-year-old basketball team, as much as it's stressful because I want to win and they don't really care enough sometimes, but I'm competitive. But, what I've loved about this situation is, yes, the being able to take care of yourself is number one, obviously, but the second part of what you just said, going into rooms with people who may not have the language you have or may not have the knowledge in that area that you have, and you share and you see where at times, you know, when you're in a district and there's people that are higher up the hierarchy than you or paid more than you or different titles than you,
right?
You still know what you're talking about, but there's that imposter time where you're talking, you're like, I think I know what I know what I'm talking about, but do they know that I know what I'm talking about?
That's
but now
right.
In these new roles where we have an opportunity to share our knowledge and our expertise and stuff we're passionate about, it's really cool watching like the people in the room when you give the presentation to a superintendent in a district that's never had a communications department or a mechanic at Southwest Airlines, and you talk about just engaging internally, externally, whatever it is, and how it can change things. That has been the thrilling part for me in my spot, is that I feel more confident in my abilities than I ever have, especially talking in front of folks. And it's been good because some of these districts that I'm getting to work with that never had communications are like, oh my gosh, this is game changer. Like, yeah. And just like those mechanics who have never thought of it outside of, like you said, turning a wrench, or like, oh, we can do this to this and it leads to something. So that's a fun thing. And a fun thing I've recognized, and it's cool to hear that you see it too in your role over there at Southwest.
Well, I think that's how communication is supposed to work, frankly. Like, I am not going to go in to our VP of maintenance ops and talk to him about how we can increase our turn time, or, you know, how do we make our logbook better? Like, that's not my area of expertise. But what I can do is absorb the information that he needs to get out down our line. And I can go in with strategy-based communication efforts that effectively deliver that message. We, in my role, my work group is primarily out in the field. They are not sitting in front of a computer. And that's pretty challenging in a digital age when all of our tools are digital. So it's like, well, we know that they're not sitting there reading their email. What else can we do? We are a national company, so we're not all based in Dallas. We can't just walk out and sit in front of them in the hangar. I mean, that works for that localized group. But what do we do for our downline stations? And it's just been really nice to feel like you are a part of the team. They lean on you for that expertise, just as you were saying, and your suggestions are welcome. It's not just like, oh, it's my turn for an update in the staff meeting, I better say something. It's like, you're really delivering something that you feel is effective. And then that just makes them lean into your expertise more. So it's been a really wonderful experience.
So let's turn this from aviation talk back to school PR.
All right.
Obviously, you know, you said you've loved being a part of the internal side of things and being able to specialize in that. And, you know, some of my districts have had to really focus on internal as well. So let's talk about kind of some of the things you've learned in this new role of engaging an internal audience and how those may relate to some things we could do in school PR as we're dealing with our teachers, custodians, and those that are, you know, working in our districts.
Mm-hmm. So I have always been a passionate advocate of internal communications, even when that wasn't the primary piece of my job. And I'm actually thinking back, I didn't go refamiliarize myself with the episodes, but over the years that I was hosting this show, I had several great conversations about internal communications. Kathy Kadigian, we did a whole episode on internal comms. It's a great passion of hers. Kristen Majette and I had definitely at least one conversation about internals. And both Kristen and Kathy recognize the power of engaging, but also investing in your internal audience before your external. And that's something that I have always felt really strongly about. And I feel even more strongly about now working at a company with about 80,000 employees. So with 80,000 employees, there's a lot of opportunity for information to get out quicker than you want. And I saw that in schools too. It's like, you send an email and you need to just anticipate that anything you send internally will be external. So you write for your external audience as much as your internal. But let me just tell you, if an employee is learning something after your customer, you're doing it wrong. And a company like Southwest that is so renowned for their culture, that is something that's incredibly organic, but it also doesn't happen overnight. Like, that is almost 53 years of investing in our people. So I think it's been a real privilege working in internal communications and making sure that not only are we prioritizing getting the message to our employees before, but also that they feel like they are a part of the decision-making process where is appropriate with 80,000 people. You can't all make the decision every single time. But also that transparency, and that's hard. I think globally, the last almost 4 years, not to keep beating the COVID horse over and over again, but I just think we've seen a pretty large paradigm shift globally with just how people feel, trusting their personal relationships, trusting their work relationships, And it's hard. I mean, we're seeing that at Southwest just as much as we were seeing it in schools. It's like people are just naturally a little more distrustful than I think that they were prior to the pandemic. But when you can be transparent, which I saw this in schools all of the time, I think we feel an innate need to protect information that we feel might make us look less than together or like something's wrong. You want to kind of hold back and wait and polish that message, but you run a real risk of not bringing your employees alongside you. And it's actually the same with parents in your district too. So I think just being transparent is even more critical than it was before. And I am very fortunate in the role that I'm in. I have four executives that I directly support, and one of them, our kind of most senior person, is highly, highly transparent. Like he will share anything and everything. And what that's done is build trust within the work group so that even if they're a little questionable about other aspects of the business, they're going to trust their immediate leader. And I feel like that is how you get your message across, is by building trust and building those relationships.
Well, I'm going to break some news that since you left, it hasn't gotten any better.
I'm shocked.
So, you know, coming out of, you know, the bond election season just wrapped up in November. And during that entire time, the mistrust of where the finances are going and how is it being spent and are you doing what you said you would do? Those were louder than I've ever seen before.
For sure.
And I loved working with a couple of the clients that we worked with, a couple of people I got to work directly with, that they were front and center of, oh, they think this? Great. Turn the camera on. And they, I'll tell you everything. Here's what happened. And here's what COVID inflation means. And here's why we said this and did this and didn't do this and couldn't do this because we couldn't do. And just the amount of just acceptance of that. Granted, you're still going to have that 20% either side, whatever. That's definitely like, screw it. What you said, still a lie. I don't trust you. But bringing it back to the middle of those folks that you're trying to reach, continual transparency like that works. During bond election season, we had a block party here, not for a bond, just for our house. Like, and a lady down the street walked up to my wife and said, I think I voted wrong. And Katie goes, what do you mean? She goes, I voted against it, but I should have come and talked to you and asked you what you thought. And Katie goes, well, first off, I would have said the same thing the district's saying because it's the truth. Second off, you just retired from the district 6 months ago.
Right.
So even the employees that are leaving have a little bit of mistrust and worry about it. So it's being transparent is so important right now. And then the beginning of what you said just then about communicating with your employees first, that in my opinion, that is key, obviously, but that is not, hey, we're going to send out a newsletter to the parents at 6 o'clock tonight. Let's send the internal one at 4:50 and give them an hour. Thank you.
Because I think some people think that that's strategy, and obviously that's better than nothing.
Right.
But like, I feel so strongly about tailoring messages for audiences. And I did when I was working in schools, and I do even more now. And I have noticed this trend with some districts that I'm still, like, I still follow all of my district friends and I'm trying to keep up as much as I can. But I have noticed, especially with like a lack of resources, because a lot of people are leaving the profession. Obviously, districts don't have quite as much expendable money with the like lack of raise that we talked about. But I'm noticing this trend with some districts, especially smaller districts or smaller communication teams, of just copying and pasting the same general message across platforms. And like, that's just not how you do it. You don't send the same newsletter to your internal and your external 30 minutes apart. Like, these are tailored messages for incredibly different audiences. You're learning that doing your APR. Like, they are different and they need different things. And that doesn't mean that you can't reuse that picture or that content idea, but like, don't cross post. Oh my God, don't cross post your Instagram and Facebook, unless you're me. And I'm only on Facebook because of like my mom and her friends. And I don't care that the content's not different. Like, I don't even get on Facebook. It just cross posts. But if you're trying to reach parents, don't cross post. Holy moly, don't cross post.
Well, one of the biggest ones, and I'm doing an episode with Angela Brown on her podcast from Niche in January. At some point it's going to release. And we're talking kind of 2024 resolutions for PR and school PR. And one of the biggest things I think that is being some districts are doing an amazing job. And this is kind of where I saw it, was like, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Some districts don't even know that, or they know it exists, but they're just not touching it. There is a need to focus on LinkedIn. There is a need, because your teachers are using LinkedIn to look for other jobs.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are.
So why would you not have your messaging? And the messaging there is completely different. Your audience there probably is teachers, people yeah. looking for other jobs or looking to come work for you. You need to be on there blowing up your messaging of, look how great our teachers are, celebrating people, celebrating achievements. Oh, so-and-so got their master's degree. Congratulations to, you know, whatever. At blank ISD, you get $1,000 more a year. Woohoo.
That's right.
Like that kind of stuff. So that's some of the things that, you know, I'm in the middle of planning that episode with her and coming up with some of them. And one of the ones, like you said, the messaging for Facebook to Instagram to even LinkedIn. And if you're still dabbling in Twitter, all that should be different. But also the internal, like we always had a rule of if the district was making a big decision or if there was something coming down the pipe or if we were going to be on the news, we would send something out to the staff that needed to know about it.
Yeah.
Before it ever hit public, because like you said, they need to know first because you don't want them learning from someone else. Because I read it in my APR book, the grapevine will fill in its own gaps with information if you don't properly give the information out.
Okay, so I'm glad that you said this. I want to call out an example, and I am not going to name the district because that would not be appropriate. But I have a friend at work who reached out to me yesterday about an incident at her child's school. And it sounded very dramatic, like dangerous dramatic. And she's like, I know you used to work in school comms. Can you help? And I'm like, I know the person that runs that district. Like, let me just reach out. That doesn't sound like a strategy that anybody would ever have enacted. Like, if this really happened, you would have been contacted. But let me find out. Because she was panicking. And she's like, I cannot understand why the district didn't reach out to me. So I reached out to the person who runs that department. Good friend. If they're listening, I apologize for utilizing this example, but I won't identify you. Super proficient practitioner. Been in the business a while. Reached out to this person. Asked a couple clarifying questions. They got back to me quite quickly. Hey, not sure where those rumors came from. This didn't happen. There was a fight. It's possible students were relocated from that location, but like there was no evacuation. There were no weapons, none of this. And I'm like, thank you so much. Like, let me kind of calm the person's fears. So I reached out to my friend and I'm like, okay, this is a perfect case study of why teenagers are dramatic, because that's not what happened. And I gave her all the info. She felt much better. Her trust in the district was restored. And I share that example only because I don't think that it was a misstep in the district's arena. Like they should not, you don't send mass communication because there was a fight in the gym. Like you don't do that. But I think that it is a perfect example of like that grapevine will fill itself in. Like a couple of dramatic kids took a story that was here, they made it here, parents got involved. So even if it wasn't appropriate for the district to like mass communicate there, it is still a great opportunity to kind of re-examine like what we could do in future situations to minimize that, knowing that people are going to insert their own details if we don't give them a story.
And that is the exact same thing that happens on a 10-year-old playground.
That's
it may
right.
not be to that epic, but I know when my 10-year-old, and I'm sure when your 10-year-old comes home, they have these grand stories and they don't realize we're friends with the teachers. Like,
right.
And teachers are like, that is not what happened.
Yeah.
There was a wedding on the playground a couple days ago in Kinley's class, if you're curious. Yeah, I can tell that story offline. 30 kids. Kinley was the ring bearer. And the reason she was the ring bearer was because she wanted to be involved in the drama. She wanted to hear all right. the tea is what she
that
said. I wanted to know what was going on.
On brand for 10-year-old girls, to be sure.
Hey friends, this is Susan Broad, Senior Strategist with CISO Communications. We are so excited to again be a part of the School PR Happy Hour family, and we hope you learn as much from this show as we do. CISO Communications is a super team of school PR veterans and creative professionals that amplify the great work that is already happening in schools and districts across the country. Currently serving districts in 24 states, our team works directly with clients on projects ranging from communication assessments to strategic planning to staff recruitment and enrollment campaigns. And we have an amazing creative team that is here to assist with any of your design, video, animation, website, or social media needs. With more than 265 years of combined experience in school PR, if you have a challenge, we've likely seen something similar. As we like to say, we can help with that. Our team recognizes the amazing work being done in school PR, and we truly want to stand alongside you and support you all in your work. At CISO Communications, we partner with districts to think about communications strategically. If your school or district is interested in learning more about how we can work together, we would love to connect with you. CISO Communications is a division of CISO, which stands for Center for Effective School Operations, which also supports schools with transportation, HR, finance, and technology. Visit thecso.com and connect with us today. And be sure to follow us on our social channels at CISOComs. Let us help you rethink possible.
So we talked a little bit about messaging across platforms and kind of analyzing and looking at the situations on your campus. Your time now in aviation and school PR, and obviously studying constantly for this PhD you're working on, I'm sure at some point in there are a few things that kind of trigger and you're like, hey, that could be a trend coming, or that could be something, whether it's AI, whether it's social media platforms, whether it's, you know, Twitter disappearing. Mm-hmm. What do you think, in your opinion, and we can bounce some back and forth, I think we both have a couple ideas, are some trends we need to be looking for, or some approaches that may need to be looked at differently in 2024?
Sure. Okay. So some of these I kind of touched on already, which is not so much a trend as like really a best practice, you know, transparency, prioritizing your internal audiences. But one thing, I'm going to answer your question kind of two ways. One thing that I noticed pretty quickly after joining my company that I immediately thought, wow, school PR could really benefit from this. So not so much a trend, but a good practice, is if you are on a communication team that is more than one person, because this would be pointless for teams of one, you need to be having a content meeting every week. We actually do it every single day, but we have, as I said, 350 communicators. And so we want to make sure that we're not like crossing into each other's territory, or that the right story is being shared at the right time, on the right channels, with the right people, in the right way, the right people are looped in. But we have a large meeting every single Monday for an hour where we go in depth on content. And then we have a shorter meeting each day. And we talk about everything from like news and trends. Did Taylor Swift drop a new album? Is she now a billionaire? We do lots of Taylor Swift updates. They're incredibly important to us. But everything from like pop culture to what's happening in our industry, what's happening in our company, what content are we doing? I think that this would be a really valuable practice for teams, because I know when I was in my last role in school PR, that was the largest team I ever worked on. And we did do this intermittently, but I think that we could have really benefited from like every Monday, say, you start your day with coffee all together and you're like, what's everybody working on? When is it going out? Because I think in school PR, we're not great about calendaring our content. There's a lot of like blow and go, like the situation's happening. Oh, hey, we haven't posted on Instagram today. It's very like reactive, I think. Mm-hmm. And so I think being more proactive would be very beneficial for districts. And then obviously being cognizant of moving, shifting, and pausing content when something really comes up, I think would help just people be more strategic in their work. But when you're talking about trends, I'm glad you brought up AI, because I think one of my last interviews that I did on this show last season was around kind of the beginning of ChatGPT. And I did that with Ben. Mm-hmm. Our friends over at Class Intercom, I was like, don't mess that up. They were such amazing sponsors. Don't mess that up. But Ben was like, he was kind of on the, like, I feel like on that front end of ChatGPT when people were first really talking about it. And it's obviously a household name now. But I'm watching industry-wide and then also just kind of like corporate-wide, people actively really investing in this like AI piece, developing new tools, figuring out when and how it's appropriate to use. I'm seeing it in academia where people, like especially undergrads who are more native to technology than maybe you and I are, Justin, where they're having their like AI bots write their papers, and they're getting caught because it's not that sophisticated yet. But right. You know, how long until it is that sophisticated? So I think it would be hard for schools to invest in this because it's expensive and new, but it's definitely something we should be watching and not underestimating.
I agree. And AI is one of the big topics that we've obviously internally at CISO had a lot of conversations about. because there is that constant fear of, well, if the computer can do it, what do they need me for? And I'm a firm believer in that. No, the computer is not going to take your job, but someone who knows how to use the computer is.
Might take your job. That's right.
Yeah. Someone who knows how to use AI efficiently and makes them a more effective worker, they will. But at the same time, I do think there's been such a pendulum swing from, oh no, this AI thing to, oh yes, this AI thing, that you're starting to see. And it's obvious when you look at social media, you can tell which brands are just copy and pasting straight from whichever AI that they're using, because it's very formulaic. There's two emojis at the beginning and two at the end, and there's five hashtags, and there's things like that. And I think that that is going to eventually start adding to some of this mistrust that we have.
I agree.
People aren't going to think that it is authentic content. And I think one thing in 2024 that we're going to have to do is get back to, it's not happening as much, putting people on camera or putting people on a podcast or putting people where you hear their voice and you know that this is an actual human giving you their feelings, emotions, and their story, as opposed to act as a story writer. You have a story about Ben who loves AI. And then you get five paragraphs about it. So that's one area that I'm a little stressed about, is that it's getting used so much now by some brands and some school districts, even, and some people building personal brands, that it's, A, it's obvious you're using ChatGPT, and B, you're losing that authentic back and forth human touch. We did an episode with Ben two episodes ago that was called Authentic Content, and something to that effect. And it was an awesome show. And it really was the beginning of me really thinking, there's going to be some AI fatigue in 2024 if we just continue to say, here's five topics, give me five tweets, and then paste them.
I'm really glad you said that. First of all, like, that doesn't surprise me that Ben had another amazing episode, because he's so great. He was such a great partner in the show, but he's also like just so great in the industry. But I'm glad that you said that, because I was kind of thinking, the other thing I wanted to like make sure that I mentioned on this podcast was, I think there's a real space for people in schools, because you have to be so creative and you have to do more with less, but being disruptive with the way that they've been communicating, because we've been talking here, I mean, in the last half hour, we've been talking about, you know, mistrust with our public, being too polished. I think there's a real opportunity for our school PR practitioners to go almost like citizen journalist style, because that is like, if you're watching, if you are a news subscriber, many of our listeners and many of our school practitioners have broadcast degrees. We were trained very formally. And if you watch the news now, what little of it, I mean, some newscasts are actually like cutting down the number of times they're doing newscasts, but it's really different, right? I mean, like, you've got the sports guy up there and he's reading, like, not tweets anymore, but like would read tweets off his phone. But I think that schools, we have this, a lot of our like senior leadership in schools want to make sure that they looked incredibly polished in everything they do, super professional. And there is a time and place for that. I mean, your superintendent in the boardroom with the school board needs to be polished and professional, but they also need to be relatable. And I think that when we're seeing so much mistrust and distrust with our publics, that you don't want to widen that gap. You want to minimize that gap. And so if I think of our school PR practitioners go out there and they're more like those citizen journalists, whether you love them or hate them, and you're like, put the camera in somebody's face. Like Adam in Chicago was doing that 4 years ago when nobody else was doing it. And it really is so authentic. And that is how we can counteract the AI bots, is like, they can't, at least at this point, can't mimic human emotion. Like, we can do the human emotion. We can tell the stories that pull on the heartstrings. And that's what our people need to be doing, is like trying to reach those audiences in a really natural, kind of disruptive way, and tell stories that make people feel things. Because the only thing we've all been feeling for 4 years is fear, frustration, anger, exhaustion, fatigue.
Yeah, there's definitely an opportunity to return to, you said it, disruptive, or just, you know, go a little rogue off of what everybody else is doing and just tell a story about it. I mean, it doesn't, there's such, and I'm trying to think how to word this, there's such, like you said, mistrust or disinformation about just even what a teacher is these days.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a teacher is A, B, or C, when actually all they are is they're really just there to teach kids and prepare them to be good humans. Showcase that. Yeah. And it doesn't even have to be academic. Oh, look at this teacher who went out and ran a half marathon for breast cancer and raised $10,000 just because she wanted to, not because It was for a math grade for her students or something. Right. It was, there's just so many stories like that, that I think that everybody is so worried at times about what's the response going to be to this story or this thought. Instead, let's just showcase that our teachers, our staff, our students, they're humans. They get it right a lot. They get it wrong sometimes, but that's all right. In all, we're all working for the same goal. And that is what I think I'm going to focus on in 2024, is just getting back to telling stories that elevate public education as a whole. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to see where that goes. Cause some of the people I get to work with have never had anybody do that, cause they've never had a communications department. Now they have Justin, who lives an hour away, but shows up every once in a while. So that's exciting for 2024. What are your big things just in life, in your career, that you're looking forward to in the next year?
It's going to be a busy year. 2024, I hope, is going to be a very good year. We had a great 2023, which I know, because we were just like recapping a lot of the stuff for some comms I have to send out later this week. But on my end, there's going to be a lot of travel. We've got a couple rallies, which are like our message to the field, just big corporate events. And we've also got a new hangar opening. So we're very excited to do all of that. And I'm being brought in on even more strategy than I was even last year, because I've now been with this work group for a year and a half. So I'm starting to become a pretty trusted member of the team. So that's exciting. I think probably a lot more, but we're just starting to kind of build out those calendars for next year. But that's the first half of the year, or the first couple of months anyway. And then on a personal front, this is a very large semester for me in my program, because I am taking an absurd course load. I'm taking 4 classes. So please don't call me from January to May, because I will be dead on the floor somewhere. And I also have to take my comprehensive exams. So me saying this on your podcast is the piece of accountability, because I have to pass these exams to continue in the program. So by May, you will either see an update that like I have moved from student to candidate, or you will see an update saying, hey, thanks so much, it's been a great experience, see you later.
Well, we know what it's going to say. We're not worried about that. Like I've said multiple times, Aaron, you helped me launch this adventure that we started a while back, and I appreciate it. And it was fun, and it is definitely different without you. And you know, Becca is doing an amazing job.
Yes.
She is pulled off some guests that I was like, wow, like, how'd you do that? Like, I've been doing this for 4 years and I couldn't get a published author, whatever. So just some, you laid the foundation for this thing and really helped us launch it. And it's taken off and gaining popularity, and it's bigger now, like numbers wise, than it's been. And it's because of the foundation that you helped me build when we started this thing. So I appreciate you, but I'm also going to get out of the way and let you tag this show out like you normally would if you were hosting this show. So feel free to close out today's episode however you feel appropriate.
Well, I do want to call out that Justin was kind enough to give me a heads up. He was going to ask me for this, and I had to write it down because it's been 6 months. But School PR, I miss you. It's been a pleasure to be back. I will always be your champion, and I'm following along. I'm always available if you need anything, or you just want a vent, or you're one of the many educators who have reached out to me on LinkedIn considering a change. I'm here for you, School PR. And until next time, let's all try to be a little bit better at our jobs every day.